Welcome to Paint Ed. Hey, I'm Chris Schenk, the education guy at the Painting Contractors Association, providing painting contractors with the training and connections they need to grow their business. To find out more, visit pdca.org. On this episode of Paint Ed, I talk with production and operation managers from three different companies about everything from hiring and training to team culture and quality assurance. We welcome Bill Lepp from SPI in Denver, Colorado, Bill Curtindale from Skies Painting in Renton, Washington, and Matt Orsino from SNL Painting in St. Louis, Missouri. The panel discussion with these gentlemen was a huge hit at the last expo in Savannah, and I'm happy to announce that we plan on releasing podcasts every month in which production operation managers in the top of their field talk shop. And don't miss the PDCA webinar next Wednesday, May 22nd at 4 p.m. with these world-class production and operation managers, where you will get a chance to ask your question to the experts. Go to pdca.org for more info. Hey guys, welcome to Paint Ed.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
Chris, thanks for having us.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be with you guys today. Thanks.
So you guys, we had an incredible response from the panel discussion we had with you guys at the expo. And we were talking about, well, the challenges you guys face and the solutions you guys come up with for, you know, the problems you face as world-class production and operation managers. We consider you world-class, just to let you know. So
I like that.
Awesome. Awesome.
No pressure. So we need some world-class answers, and I think that's what we're getting from you guys. You guys are successful. Y'all are doing great work, and you're extremely successful in what you do. So people kind of want to listen in, and they want to be the fly on the wall while you guys talk shop. And I think that's what's happening here a little bit. So excited to get started, and we're going to try to cram as much of this into a 30-minute podcast as we can. There's no way we could address all the questions that were asked at the expo, and we're not going to do an exact repeat. So let's just get some conversation going. If you guys don't mind, let's just go in the order of Matt, and then Bill Lepp, and then Bill Curtindale. I want to ask you guys just, you know, about your company, where you're at, and just a couple of details. Keep it under a minute, and then we'll move off from there.
Okay, so Matt Orsino with SNL Painting opened up in 2003. I've been with them for 6 years. Painter, everyday leading painter, and turned up to be a production manager. So we are up to 23 painters right now looking to hire more, which is a challenge.
Yeah, always. That's what I hear.
Bill Lepp, Shamrock Painting. We've been in business for 28 years. We're a second generation commercial paint company in the Denver area. We try to travel outside to the other metros around Denver, but not very far. Right now, we currently use about 100 employees total.
Yeah, this is Bill Curtindale with Skies Painting. We're out of the Seattle area. We're just south of Seattle, about 35 minutes. And we are celebrating our 50th year in business.
Wow.
And we also are second generation. Actually, the ownership is third generation painting, second generation ownership. Nice. We have about 150 employees, 125 guys out in the field.
Okay, guys, if you don't mind, we could start with Bill Curtindale on this one. Tell me how you came to do what you're doing at your company, and then I want to kind of move on to another question after that about how your position has evolved. But let's start with that. How did you come to do what you're doing at your company? Bill Curtindale.
Yeah, so I worked at Skies Painting as a painter back in the 90s, and then I left and was in the commercial real estate business for probably until 2011. And in 2011, I came back to Skies Painting, and we're just coming out of the recession, and things were starting to tick up and improve. And I started as a superintendent, where me and one other superintendent ran about 43 guys at the time.
I got into the industry, into the trade, about 23 years ago, and really enjoyed the aesthetics of the painting industry. Started learning more, started going to night school and taking classes for blueprint reading and estimating, and just seeing a bigger need in the industry. So I wanted to, you know, take some classes, get some more education and some formal training. and just started promoting from within, went into superintendent, then into project management, then into director of operations.
Okay, thanks. Matt?
Yeah, I've been in the painting business for over 20 years. Started out with my father and my uncle working at a company, moving up the ranks real quick. Really, after 14 years, fine-tuning my skills where I really started caring on what my future is going to be. So luckily, I did get out of that company and found SNL Painting, which was only a couple years here, and got the opportunity to be production manager. And I've been production manager for 4 years now.
Great. I think that's good for people to hear. For one, there are people listening to this who are production managers and operation managers, but then there's owners listening as well, and they're thinking about, okay, how do I find these types of people? And I'm going to ask you that question in just a little bit, but let's get to this. How has your position evolved over the years, from where you came in and what you thought you were going to be doing, maybe how it started and what they thought they needed, but you know, you're going to tailor it to make it your own. You're going to see things that were problems that couldn't have been foreseen by the people who hired you. And there's a lot of learning that happens there. That's one of the things that we've kind of learned from hearing from you guys, is that you're bringing new insight to redefine the role. So talk to me about some of those changes. Bill Lepp, let's start with you this time.
So I feel like the position has evolved a lot due to the industry. You got some of the old journeymen coming out of the trades or retiring, and you have some of the newer, younger generations coming up through, and they count on technology a lot. So I feel the businesses, the positions in the businesses are all starting to trend towards technology a lot more. Instead of just the old pen and paper and a green sheet or a wheel, everything's done on the computer. There's no more paper prints. And that goes the same as leading your field crews, too. You start to understand who they are and how to communicate with them. And you want to, at the end of the day, we want to add value to the people that we support. So I think it's important that we start to support them and understand what they need to be successful. It's not so much what the companies need any longer. It's not drive this, drive that, drive that. It's what do you need for me to help you be successful? And I think when we keep that door open or line of communication open, I think that's very important, and it helps us all grow a little bit.
Yeah, I agree completely.
Well, go ahead, Matt. What do you got?
What I've noticed since I've started, technology is huge. I was more of a Nick from SNL would hate this term, but riding boss. But yeah, I would go job to job and try to help coach these guys on getting the most out of the out of our process to get the job on time. We did include estimate rockets. So like I said, technology came in. I was actually able to fully feel like doing my whole job plus by invoicing, you know, have contacts all there at my fingertips instead of, like Bill was saying, we used to write everything down. So being a newer company, still progressing and growing, technology is huge. And like you said about our employees, as I've grown in the last 4 years, I've totally have been delegating a lot more to my crew leaders, you know, feeling them out, seeing, you know, what can they handle, what do they want to handle. It's basically what do they want to do to make them happy, like you said. That's has made our company definitely more communicative and more successful.
And you feel like you brought a lot of that since you got there, the ability to kind of work together with the crew leaders.
Most definitely. You got to get a feel for the guys. Luckily, I painted here for a couple years, and a lot of them know me. But yeah, it's like I tell everybody, if you could work with your guys in the field and just kind of know each other and talk, even off subject of painting, it drives the atmosphere of our company up. I mean, everybody loves working here.
Nice. Bill Curtindale.
Yeah, thanks. So for me, the growth has been very interesting to watch. You know, starting out in 2011 as a superintendent, which primary function was, you know, setting up jobs, introducing your lead on site to the project, and then supporting them throughout that project with all the communication necessary between our salespeople and our customers. But as we grew, at that time, we were a company with less than 50 people. And as we grew, that support and the level of professionalism and the development of our people all changed. So the roles matured and the roles grew more and more to accommodate that growth. And eventually, about 5 years ago, I became the operations manager and overseeing. So we went from one superintendent to five superintendents. And at that time, the training and the mentoring and maintaining that family business feel and that culture was one of the most important things to us. And that's harder and harder to do the bigger you get. And as our levels grow, the maturity of our superintendents grew and the professionalism at that level and the needs for training all the way across the board and delegating and elevating responsibilities at each level throughout the field. And then now we're still growing and building out the structure. So my most recent position is the director of operations. And that's, you know, primarily responsible for, you know, the development of performance goals and handling all the performance management systems and long-term operational plans, dealing with budget development, managing labor costs and wages, and setting long-term strategic goals.
Nice. Bill Curtindale, let's talk about key performance indicators and keeping your crew engaged in growing. I know that you've done a lot of work on that, and you've talked about performance reviews. You've even done an expo presentation on it. Talk to me a little bit about that and how you do that in your company.
Sure. So we have, so for our field guys, our performance management system is definitely all based on performance, and it has two elements. The intangibles, you know, the work ethic and the character of the individual, and then the painting side. So we have levels from trainees to what we call painter ones, twos, and threes. We have lead painters and master painters. And as each position progresses, it builds on the previous position. So we have a portion of their performance graded on those intangibles, and then a portion graded on their skill and knowledge of in the application processes. And like I said, each one of those build as they progress up through our painter progression. And it's a point system, which removes a lot of the objectivity out of it and tries to get consistency across all of our superintendents and our managers that do all those performance reviews.
That's good to hear this stuff. We are just now incorporating the review system, which is real similar to what you have. We starts from the bottom, from a crew helper, apprentice, painter one, painter two, painter, you know, lead painter, crew leader. Just now starting the review system where we pull the guys in, and when they do a review on themselves, I do a review on them, and we have a goal to do another, you know, meet a goal for the next review. You know, we'll talk about it. Doesn't mean you're getting more money or anything like that. Just to keep them in the office and keep them with their goals and trying to get better. Man, what a difference. The guys have loved this, and they're not coming to me. Hey, I've been here a year. Are we going to get a review? Mm-hmm. You know, because we know that'll get lost real easily when we're in the motion of doing things. But not, that's huge. And I think the guys just love knowing, hey, they're going to take care of me if I'm doing the right things.
Gotcha. Bill Lepp, what about you?
Yeah, first of all, I'd like to congratulate Bill Curtindale on his new position. Good job.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
I couldn't agree more with what both of them said. We're very structured like Skies is. The only thing I want to add to this is the KPIs are only important if you're paying attention to them. You know, the old saying, what gets measured gets done.
Yeah.
You can keep as many KPIs, you can bring them up as many times as you want, but if no one is actually holding someone accountable to them KPIs, they're not going to get us anywhere. So if you are keeping KPIs, if you're paying attention to them, if you're driving them or using them to drive your company, you have to make sure that you're being realistic about them, that you're monitoring them, and that you're holding someone accountable for them.
Very good point.
That is. And how do you feel like you've kind of mentioned enough of that, like how you hold people accountable?
I think I got something to add to that.
That could be a whole nother podcast.
Yeah. To that performance management part, Chris, I'd like to add a little bit to that one thing that I forgot. So in our performance management system, every painter throughout their evaluation has benchmarks, and they're established in their job description and in their performance rating. So when we sit down with a painter and talk about their production and talk about their progression through our system, it's very clear what items they need to work on. And we develop what we call a PDP, which is a personal development plan, for them to achieve their goals. And we structure a timeline and provide them the support and give them the information that they need to achieve those goals. So it's very clear to them what they need to do to reach that next level.
Yeah, that's it. That's great. We're actually doing kind of something similar, kind of a training sheet, leaving it up to the guys that want to move up onto themselves to see, oh, okay, I can make this much money, but this is what I really have to do. And they have to get it okayed by their supervisor. And I think that's, like you said, holding them accountable. That's what we're starting to do is here. It's up to you to progress.
So what have you guys implemented in your company to address, maintain the critical items of process, standards, quality control in your company?
I can start. We've established our 5 crew leaders as of right now in our company, and me delegating, you know, the quality control, because I cannot be out at every job. So this has been huge for us, for our crew leaders to be watching over our lead painters and some of these other jobs, and looking over the quality before the job is complete is key. Now, we do demand our painters who's running the job to have the walkthrough with the customer, to communicate with their crew leader and us, to make sure that everybody is happy. I think just the customer service alone, just having them, you know, deal with that, it makes our paint job even better. But yeah, our crew leaders, it's so important for them to go out and look at these jobs. I just can't be everywhere at once.
Right.
That's kind of the growing pains as we're growing. We're learning to delegate. That's what I do every day. Just learning to delegate.
Bills?
So I don't feel there's no checklist we can do as painters, because every job is different from the next. However, I do feel like putting eyes on it is the most important part we could do. You know, trust but verify. You can always say, hey, did you guys complete this? Once they say yes, you could move on, but you should verify it. We should go in and, you know, we have our lead painters, you know, that'll say, hey, something's good. Then the foreman needs to walk it. After that foreman walks it, it is the superintendent's position to walk it. So I would expect my superintendents to be on site at least once a week on every project that they're on. So that gives them the opportunity to walk this and say, yes, our quality's up to par, our standards are good, or, hey, I feel like we lagged a little here and we had to go back and do some of our own paint deficiencies. There's enough trade damage out there that we don't need to be leaving deficiencies behind for them to pick up, as well as trade damage. So we make sure we ensure a walk from, like I said, the lead painter, the foreman, the superintendent, and anytime I'm personally out in the field, the first thing I walk is safety. Second thing I walk is quality.
Yeah, that's great, Bill. For us, a lot of our business has changed a lot. We've always had very clear standards, high service, high quality, kind of the SKIs way. And we've always trained our people on that. But as our business developed a lot on the new construction side, working with more general contractors, and people really value engineering their projects and things like that, we've had to create other standards. And so we still maintain our repaint standards and our exterior standards and our interior small TI standards, and those are written documents that we train our leads and foremen on to train their junior painters. As we've moved into a lot more GC work, what we've done there is really worked on understanding the customer's needs, going into a job and performing, you know, mock-ups and setting change order standards and things like that very early on in the process. and then making sure that we maintain those throughout that project. So like Bill said, there could be a different standard on every job, and then getting our supervisors, our superintendents out in the field, doing quality control checks, you know, keeping our guys accountable and engaged on the project, guiding on process, and all of that is super important.
Excellent. Well, we are, there's only so much we could squeeze into this little time. I want to ask you guys the question of, you know, how do companies find people like you? Maybe they have a production manager, an operations manager, and they want somebody more like you. or something's not working right. We talked a little bit in the panel discussion about how do you know when it's not working? How do you know when you're succeeding? How do you know when something needs to be fixed? But we don't have time to go through all that. But how do people find you? You guys are obviously doing really well for your companies. What would be some of your tips in finding and knowing when it's time? How do you know when it's time, and how do you find that right person?
I can start with that, Chris. For us at SNL, you know, I was a painter. Yeah, I think you got to look inside your company first. Most definitely. If you can find a person that's, you know, one of your top guys, you'll know who he is. You know, he's leading customer service, quality, a leadership guy that can lead all the guys. You know, look towards them first. You know, some of those may not want that much responsibility. But in this case, in my position, I was that guy. I liked it. Now, I understand it's a lot more work than just painting. So you have to look inside your company first. Otherwise, I think there's other options.
You're looking for leadership quality and not just painting experience.
I would always say look inside your company. I would think that would be your best bet. I think it would be pretty hard to hire someone that doesn't know the painting field. Mm-hmm. And actually get the response from the guys.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense to earn the respect of the guys because you have industry knowledge. And yeah, what about you guys, Bills?
So we have had a lot of success going out and casting a broader net, should you say, especially for this position. I couldn't agree more. When they come from the paint background, they're probably better off, but I don't want to just limit myself to what's in town, because most of the time we've seen the guys come around, you know, they'll leave a company for a dollar. So they'll go from here to there, to there, to there, and then end up back at your door. And that's probably not the guy I'm willing to promote. Always looking for the next best thing. So we like to look outward. We like to, you know, search Indeed, Craigslist, you know, LinkedIn. We'll look anywhere we can, ASPE. We just like to see what else is out there. Like I said, being in business for 28 years, we've seen a lot of unfortunate mishaps with hiring and firing. And I think it's important that once you recognize this may not be the person, that's probably the best time to let go of them. You're not going to do him any favors by holding on and thinking that this is going to change. We like to hire slow, fire fast. Yeah. And you know, we understand everybody has families and lives and stuff like that, but we're not doing them any favors by holding on to them. We're not doing ourselves any favors by holding on to them. And the quicker we can get off of that person, move on with the next person, you know, the better off, hopefully the better off we'll be. So it's, you gotta, the signs are going to be there. You got to pay attention to them, and you got to move on when it's that time.
Great answer, Bill. So much better than mine.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that strategy. I also believe that it doesn't always have to be somebody from the painting industry. It could be just somebody with very high level leadership skills and organization and accountability. One of the biggest things in this position is loyalty, and then having the ability to connect with your people. It is a huge key for this position to have that engagement and connection with the most valuable asset in every one of our companies. And that's our people out in the field. We need to maintain those relationships and mentor those guys up through their process. And you can tell how you're doing there by, you know, your longevity with your painters and your turnover. And then what the people are saying that leave your company. And, you know, we have a lot of people that come into our company and then maybe get poached by a different company, or somebody comes in, tries to offer them a bunch of money that they can't refuse. And so many of those people want to come back and reach out. And we have policies to kind of handle those type of things. But for me, this position, not only my position, but also our superintendent level, is some of the hardest positions we have to fill. We search long, hard, far. It is a very difficult process to get that level of commitment, because these jobs are a grind. You're working long hours. You have to be available 24/7. You have to be company minded, yet have such a care for your people that you have that trust and that connection. There's a lot to it. So picking the right person and developing the right person is a very difficult process.
And it sounds like a needle in a haystack almost, don't it?
And I wonder if, you know, as your business grows and there's more removes in management from, you know, what you guys are doing to the guy in the field and the painters, you know, I wonder, Matt, if you're much more close to what's happening on the front lines and to where industry knowledge makes a bigger difference when you're helping to supervise the actual work done. Maybe when you get more middle management in between and you get those layers, then you're looking for somebody with more corporate business management. Am I thinking right about that, guys, as far as looking for somebody with industry knowledge?
Yeah, you are.
Okay.
Yeah, completely. Yeah,
the further removed you get from the field, it would be okay to, you know, maybe not get the guy who can still hold a brush, because let's be honest, that we need that guy holding the brush in the field still. Maybe true. You need a guy who can read production reports and read balance sheets and read, you know, time sheets and approve payroll. So yeah, I think the further up you get, it is okay to maybe look outside of we've looked outside of the construction industry and found some of the best people we could find, because, you know, they were available and they were willing and they came from a strong background with good character and good culture. And I think those are sometimes more important. Like I always say, I can train you how to paint and how to be a leader. I can't train you about character and who you are as a person.
Yeah, so much. And then another thing to keep in mind is when you do have this leadership, when they are exposed to our industry and managing multiple crews and multiple peoples, their experience and their exposure to our successes and our issues and product failures and processes is exponential, because they're out there engaged with all of your crews, all of your jobs, and they get to see all of this. So they're fed with a fire hose with all this industry experience. And I've seen that really bring guys along at a fast pace too, where if you're a lead, you're working on one job at a time, and you know, you're getting one job at a time's worth of experience, and not this multitude of experience based on all the projects that you're involved in and engaged with.
It's a great point, and they feel like they're a part of something even more.
Yeah.
Well, guys, there's just only so much time, and I know people want to hear more from you. Thank you guys so much for being on this podcast and answering some questions and showing us and telling us how world-class production and operation managers and directors do things. That was very helpful. Hope to hear more from you guys in the future. Thanks for being on Paint Ahead.
Thanks, Chris.
Thanks for having us.
It was a good time. Appreciate all you guys. Thanks a lot.
Paint Ahead podcasts are a product of the Painting Contractors Association. To find out more about upcoming education opportunities or for more information about joining PDCA and getting access to advanced resources for your business, visit pdca.org. We'll see you next time.
We consider you world class, just to let you know.